go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Whenever I say away we go, Tom, I'm thinking the horses.
You're thinking Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners.
Horses are all lined up and they're ready to.
Oh, now we're in Ben-Hur. Okay.
Yeah, Ben-Hur. I'm loving this weather. I did not like the first, you know, I complain a lot about the weather. It's too hot in the summer, and then when it's cold, like the first 10 days of January, but this is really nice.
Yeah, we have a few days here that is really nice.
Some really nice.
Let's enjoy them.
Yeah. All right. It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Today is the 17th day of January, 2024. We're off and running, getting back to the horse racing again, off and running on our 14th year, coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. It was 36 years ago this month that I pulled into town, my second time around here in Tucson after going to the University of Arizona, came down from the Bay Area, and I've been in the media here now into the 36th year. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a lot of content there. In fact, 13 years of our program, all archived at buckmastershow.com. When we do our live line, and we're going to do two telephone interviews today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham with us on the live line. Councilman, how are you?
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Boy, there's a lot to unpack today in our monthly visit with you. The news of Mike Ortega on Friday deciding he will be taking retirement after the budget is all ironed out, probably he'll leave in June. Did that catch you by surprise, Paul?
Not really. I mean, it's a few months early, but I always figured he was going to give us about 10 years. It's going to end up at 9.5. I mean, he's had an incredible run. It's happened before where people, turn a certain age and spend the holidays with their family and go, you know, I think I'm going to be done now. And that's happened actually a couple times in my career. So it wasn't anything that we weren't ready for. It's a little premature in our succession planning, but I think we can still go with the succession plan we initially had. And so I like it. I think Mike has done an incredible job as our manager. He leaves on a very positive note. He lasted longer than any other manager since Mr. Valdez, Joel Valdez. We had a balanced budget. We went from, you know, basically struggling to break even to running an annual surplus. Fiscally, we're probably the most sound we've been in three decades. The guy's just done a great job. He wants to go out on his own terms, and still the conscientiousness of his public service is demonstrated by him willing to stick around and make it through this last budget. So I've got nothing but best wishes to my friend Mike Ortega. And we send him away with gratitude of his service, and we're thankful to have him as long as we did, and he has done an incredible job.
The number two man, Tim Tomier, is scheduled to be with me here for our Friday Focus interview this week. He seems like a very logical choice. Tim is so talented, just to step right in into that position. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, he's just an incredibly creative thinker. He was kind of the architect of what put us in the water situation we are, which is a very enviable position when it comes to water among cities, counties, and towns in the state of Arizona. And he understood that piece. So when we had him branch out into other departments and work through other departments over the past two and a half years or so that he's been in the manager's office, he's gotten the opportunity to oversee different departments throughout. I think it was part of Mike's plan to have that transition take place. again, I haven't really talked to all my colleagues, so I don't want to assume anything, but conventional wisdom, that's kind of where it's headed. But let's, there's still some work to be done. We got to make sure that he's able to speak to some of the community groups and, talk to my colleagues, and hopefully we'll have a good place. But this is what succession plans are for, and you try to do that so that you've got, a contingency upon a contingency. So I'm pretty solid on that today. Obviously, there could be some unforeseen thing that happens. So I don't see that happening. But I want to be cautious. I don't just want to assume that that's the plan when I haven't talked to my colleagues yet.
No, and that makes sense. I mean, but certainly we're fortunate, I believe, to have someone like that in the bullpen, if you will, and ready to go. And he certainly would be very qualified for the position. All right. Normally, sports is not, the other big story, first it was Friday with Mike Ortega, and then over the weekend with Jed Fish deciding he was going to go to Washington. I don't know. This left a bad taste in my mouth, and it left, I think, I'm not alone in that. One thing that really seemed tacky, if you will, was that the Washington athletic director coming to Tucson to Mr. Fish's house, Coach Fish's house up in the foothills, and then signing the contract right there. I mean, that seemed weird to me. I would have assumed, go up to Seattle, have a signing ceremony up there at the University of Washington. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I have a few things, and let's start with the fact that at the end of the day, the guy stayed longer here than he had anywhere else. Let's take into the account that he did turn this program around. So he should get credit for whether or not we're going to be kicked off about how he left. How he left, it was definitely a clumsy and fumbled exit, all right?
Yes.
And
yes,
it absolutely sucks that he went on radio on January 4th and said, I'm probably staying at Arizona. But Nick Saban hadn't resigned from Alabama yet. And Kalen DeBoer hadn't accepted the job at Alabama. I mean, there were a number of different shoes that had to drop for all this to kind of go south on us. And more most importantly, that's college football at the end of the day. Now, this is where, for me, as just a Tucson guy and a Tucson person, my answer is that I'm not sure the University of Washington has more to offer than Tucson does. Yeah. And more importantly,
I agree with that. Yeah, go ahead.
And the other thing is, with the players that he had in play, this is a very, very, very special group of kids. These kids not only are incredible in their football ability, which is great, but they're great kids. They're amazing human beings. Some of the ones that I've had the opportunity to meet, this is a really neat group of kids. They have created a brotherhood and a special bond that a lot of teams just never really establish. They are independent thinkers. They are creative. They have controlled kind of their own destiny. This is a neat group of kids. And a lot of them had bought into Tucson. And so for their coach to kind of say, he sold them on Arizona, he sold them on Tucson, sold them on his team, and then him to say, well, actually, I'm going to Seattle now. That's the stuff that irks me. That's the frustrating piece. I'm really hoping that Coach Brennan, and I remember attending school with his brother Brad, and I'm really hoping that Coach Brennan is able to let them, to give them the idea, hey, stick with Tucson. We're here for you. We love you. We got a good thing going. And all we can do right now is to love each other and make it better. And I think that's the message we want to have for the kids. And here's the other thing with the kids, whatever they decide, I thank them for whatever happens, because I couldn't be a prouder of the group of kids that we had that came together and gave us the season we had last year. It was something that no one 3 years ago would have ever predicted. So I'm just going to be grateful for what's happened and hope for the best, be optimistic of what's next. But we've got a good Tucson guy in the job, and I think it's up to us as fans and good Tucsonans to welcome Coach Brennan with open arms and say, hey, we're here for you to make this work, and we want you to be successful. And Coach Brennan is a Tucson guy, and he's a Tucson person, and it's great to have him here.
Yeah, it really is. I'm all in on Coach Brennan, folks. I think this guy is a really quality individual. His wife, Courtney, I believe, is a UA grad, or yes, Tom
yeah,
Fairbanks agreeing.
Yeah. His brother Brad. And you know, what a lot of people don't forget, Brad Brennan was our third down receiver in 96, 97, and 98.
I remember. During the golden Tomey years. This is a Tomey guy. This is a Tomey guy.
These are Tucson folks. They're Wildcats, and I think that's what we're looking for. I again, it was a fumbled and muddled exit, but I'm not gonna condemn Coach Fish to hell or anything like that. I'm not in a hurry to go root for him either. But it's done now. So let's just go with what we got. Let's be optimistic, and hopefully I'm hoping some of the kids decide to keep Tucson in their hearts and stay here. We are an adopted hometown for a lot of people. You'd be surprised how many former athletes who are successful here either A, end up staying here, or B, end up at least keeping a home here. And that's kind of a testament to the type of community we have, and I just hope we do that moving forward.
All right. It's break time. We're going to talk city business with Councilman Paul Cunningham. Well, the U of A is city U of A athletics is city business, as far as I'm concerned. There are three legs to the stool here. The University of Arizona, Davis Monthan, and then Raytheon seem to be like the three legs of the stool. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. We love Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They do a great lunch up there. I love that the hot turkey sandwich. I've also done a really tuna melt up there that's been really great at lunch. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Steve and the team have told me about some exciting news, and I can share it with the folks. They do have now a liquor license up at Mona's, so it's not official yet. They're not doing the mimosas, you know, with the breakfast and everything, but it is coming. I was up there over the weekend. The wine cooler is in, so they do have the liquor license, and that's going to be a go here any day up at monasdanishbakery.com. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezin67.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. Want to talk a little bit about green things. I love green things. And now that they're really, really cold snap, the coldest first 10 days of January since 2011. So, yeah, it was pretty cold. Low 20s in some parts of the area, but now we're back to a little above average, and I'll take that. This time of year, above average is great. 6 months from now, above average, no thanks. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Stop by, start your spring planting, and also while you're there, check out all that wonderful the imported items from Mexico and even Europe at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. They're open daily in their, I think I've got this right, 53rd year of business at Green Valley. Paul Cunningham, he didn't get off the bus yesterday either. He's been in town a long time. The Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman, a Democrat, and he's with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The golfers are not at all happy with these proposed changes coming over at Randolph Golf Complex in Tucson. Will this change the character of our golfing community in that area, Paul Cunningham?
Well, it's three phases. The only phase that's funded is the first phase. We've been very clear about protecting hole three, which is the only hole that phase one would affect. So I think we're where we need to be to start. I think, again, we don't have a bona fide or settled plan or funded plan at this point to say, oh, yeah, this is what we're doing. I think people are really trying to figure out a way to give us the best golf course we can, give us the most responsible water policy we can, maintain that we have 36 holes. Remember, part of it is we have to replace the irrigation anyway. So the discussion, part of this discussion is, hey, while we're going to dig up all the irrigation and replace the pipes anyway, we might as well take the time to augment the course a better way. So if such an opportunity exists. So that's what's going on. I think it's really premature to say no when we don't really know what it is we're going to do yet. I've always said I wanted to have the 18 holes, but I want to have 18 in the middle, 9 from each course or 6 from one course and 12 from another course to create like a championship loop, which is like a premium course. Everybody knows that we have a really long par 3 on the Del Urich side. We also have a water hole, which is the 17th. It's a tight green with basically you're just carrying about 100 yards of water. I think it's a great, it is an absolutely tremendous hole. So I think those are holes that you could put into a championship loop. I know that the North Course has some really inviting holes too. and the North Course is a really good, it used to be the championship course. So I think, you know, integrating those two for a championship loop, maintaining the 36 holes, which are absolute stated goals in this process, is there. That doesn't mean that we may just keep things as is if the costs go too far out of whack. So I think there's still a lot to unpack and discuss there, but I think it's premature to just shoot everything down. I think you just want to be sure that because at the end of the day, we do want the clubhouse to be augmented and improved and updated. At the end of the day, we do want to have a proper tennis center. So we've got to do those things. And at the end of the day, we do need to replace the irrigation. So those things are going to happen irrespective of what a redesign looks like. The redesign is out there to take a look at possibly expanding some open space. I'm a little bit more keen if we're going to expand open space and public space and in park space, I'm more keen on building some more neighborhood parks. But we'll kind of see how the process unfolds. And again, it's okay to have a dialogue about it. There's nothing not healthy about dialoguing about things that potentially can be good ideas.
The building trades people are very happy with the city of Tucson's decision. I think it was the council meeting last week about passing what is considered a prevailing wage ordinance. In effect, what does that mean?
Well, right now we already have for federal projects, Davis-Bacon. This would apply it basically to all projects or most projects that we have. There's a few exemptions carved out. It's essentially a core value that we're going to pay our workers what they're worth. I think we have to couple it with some procurement changes and expanding our vendor list and having a maximum bid price, a sealed maximum bid price, and some things to control some costs. But I think overall it's a good package, and I think it's very helpful to the workers and to the trade unions who, you know, they do a lot of the working and living and dying in the city. And then we've got to give our nod to the working folks that do those jobs. And so that's what this is for.
One of our listeners wants me to ask you about your colleague, Lane Santa Cruz, and her statement about wealth redistribution. Have you ever weighed in on that about redistributing wealth?
I haven't had a lot of I don't know exactly what she said about wealth distribution, redistribution. I think that, again, as a core value, I'm of the belief that people earn what they get and they should be paid what they're worth. And so I don't know if I'm in that category, but I think it's a very general, I think you can take statements and pigeonhole them and make general assumptions on things. So I don't know kind of what the context was. What I'll say is that, I like to have programs that help people at various levels of quality of life, kind of get a little bit better. That doesn't necessarily mean we're redistributing wealth. Just means that we're using our resources so that kids can have a place to swim in the summer. I want to have resources where we have music lessons and art lessons and youth sports available to kids. I'd like to have some stuff where if you want to have kids be able to do things after school, those programs are available. Those are the kind of things that I'm looking for as far as what makes our community better. I think there's opportunities out there. We have programs for folks in need, but we don't have as many programs for people who are on the climb. These are our workers that are working, tough jobs, and they're trying to move up, and sometimes they need a little help. And so that's kind of where that gap is. And so I'd like to have programs that definitely help those folks out, help out our working folks. So I don't know enough about the context of the statements that Councilmember Santa Cruz made, but overall, you can look at wealth redistribution in a very generalized sense, and you're really not getting the full picture. So I don't know. I really don't have an answer to that today.
What about your final thoughts on the tourism season? The peak season is now here. What are you hearing about how we're looking for this winter?
So But my last report was we've had some record numbers. I think we've had a really good season. We've had some really good numbers. We had a short thing. I think it'll be interesting to see how the desert friendlies and the rodeo comes out. But yeah, I'm really excited about where we are. I'd like to see if we could get to a point where we have a little bit more. I think the MLK Classic is great. I'd like to get some more out of town schools next year. I'd love to see how we do with the invitational games with some of the small colleges coming out for softball. So we'll see kind of how all that goes. The season goes until, well after spring break. I don't think we really end until Easter. So we'll see kind of what kind of numbers we get. But I know going into the holiday, we were in a really good spot. So hopefully that'll continue.
All right. Paul Cunningham, back to school for you. And hope the semester's going well. Thank you for your time.
Bill, thanks for having me. Have a great day and have a great weekend too, son.
Thank you very much. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway regardless of the time of year. They have a great climate over there, about that's same as Denver, about a mile high elevation, about 5,400 feet. It is in the southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment. A lot of people say they have a great experience over there. I know I've been over there and had a great experience. Start your planning by visiting their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. Places to stay, great places to eat, and more importantly, great places, things to do in Silver City. Take a break right here. Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen is right on the horizon right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat, midweek edition, insider travel talk. One of my favorite segments here, our monthly segment with our Buckmaster Show travel contributor, Mr. Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Arizona's premier travel agency, has been since 1976. That would be Bon Voyage Travel. And the experts over there, they've been everywhere in the world. They're standing by right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is the fine website that they produce. Tremendous amount of content there, travel related, of course. It's your first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Let's welcome now Ryan Hansen. Rhino, how are you?
I'm doing great. I guess it's the 17th day of the new year, but you and I have not spoken. We've communicated via email, but happy new year, my friend. I hope it's off to a great start.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, new year is here. New hopes. Let's hope, as far as my case, that it's a much better year than 2023. I'm sure it will be. Rhino, a volcano has erupted near the town of Grindavik for the second time in a month. For those that don't know, Grindavik is near the international airport in Iceland. Do you have any updates? That volcano eruption came just 3 days ago.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Bill, is when I run into friends and people in the community, they always ask me about global events, be it in this case, you know, something like a volcano or rain or snow or something to that effect, or geopolitical. And they say, hey, did that impact your business? Everything in the world impacts travel, right? So yes. To what degree does it, right? And that's the thing that in 2011, a similar volcano, I don't know if it was the exact same one, erupted, and it closed down European flights for 2 weeks because of the ash that was in the atmosphere. Happy to report that air traffic has not been affected into and out of Europe or even into and out of Iceland, which is really good to know. As we have talked many a time, Bill, Iceland, very, very popular destination. So to just assuage any concerns of people are saying, wow, I'm going there soon, or I thought about it, these types of events do not always impact your air traffic. But I'd like to talk about it with you, Bill, because travelers don't live in it like I do every day. These types of things you have to be aware of, and it can potentially impact your trip. But if you have something planned in the near future for Iceland, travel thus far has not been severely impacted. And those neighboring areas of natives that live on the island were evacuated in advance. There wasn't any immediate threat to the local population. So people thus far have been able to avoid the potential catastrophic damage of a volcano, and so we're happy to report that. But it's always something to think about as you're planning your travels and having, and a shameless plug here, Bill, right, having someone like us on the scene and having, you know, we have boots on the ground people. We have partners that live in Iceland and that help us with our travelers. They can report back what's happening right there, right now, to be able to make the best informed decisions for your travels if maybe an impending destination is impacted by, let's say, the volcano, or we go back to the Maui fires that happened in August, right? Having those connections and understanding of the destination is always best for a traveler.
And, you know, at last year's travel show, I talked about my top two dozen travel destinations, and Iceland was definitely one of the big ones. I loved Ann and I had a great trip there. We spent our 25th wedding anniversary. We were kind of ahead of the curve back in 1997 when we were there, but really enjoyed it. Great And we moved on from there to Dublin. And for folks that are thinking of a kind of a easier way to ease into Europe, Icelandic Air, it's an easier flight because you're about 2 hours closer to the U.S. than Europe. So, and it's a great place to visit Iceland for a few days and head over like we did to Ireland. So something to think about, and those are the kind of things you and I like to talk about at the annual travel show. And I've had several people ask me, when is the Bon Voyage travel show this year?
Oh, you're teeing it up beautifully. We are back, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. If you've been there before, you know it's at the Hilton El Conquistador Resort on the north side of town. If you haven't been, this is an event that's going to have over 40 travel suppliers from all over the world, from cruise to land to hotel to destination to exploration experts, descending upon the Hilton El Conquistador on Sunday, March 3rd. The event runs from 11 to 3, and it will be headlined by a presentation by yours truly alongside my travel partner and friend in the business and industry, Bill Buckmaster. So we will be talking about hot destinations and travel trends and things that we do on a monthly basis. Thanks for having me on your show as a contributor. We bring that into full circle life with a 20-minute presentation about the world of travel, Bill. So there's lots of exciting things going on at the travel show. Presently, our website is being populated with all of the happenings. So I would give it a week or so before you jump on bvtravel.com to decipher who do I want to see and what do I want to hear about. But one of the highlights, Bill, I'd love to explore a little bit deeper with you, is our expedition and exploration expert that is coming to the show. We're flying him in from out of town. He is an expedition expert in the industry named Carl Canstatter. He's a partner and friend of ours in the network and in the business. And he is formerly of Silver Sea Cruises, where he headed up the entire expedition fleet of operations. And he was in charge of picking destinations for the cruise ship to descend upon all over the world to create an expedition itinerary that was a little more active, a little bit more adventurous, that involved, landings on Antarctica, the Galapagos, expanding to the Arctic and Greenland. This guy is, you want to talk about well-traveled, Bill, you're well-traveled, but this guy has probably been to 100 more destinations than you that are the true off-the-beaten-path destination. If you're somebody that has always wanted to do that, or maybe has and want to expand your horizons, you got to come on Sunday, March 3rd. This guy will take you down a new road. If you're sitting there listening today and you're saying, oh, what is that about? Am I capable? Am I qualified? Can I physically handle a trip like that? Is it something I would enjoy? Come to the show. He's going to walk you down the path of what you have to be physically able to do and not do. Maybe get through some of the misperceptions of what an adventure travel looks like. So that maybe you could say, well, I could do that. And you may need to, say to yourself, I've always wanted to go there, but I never thought I could. And Carl's going to be able to illuminate those great destinations in a far better way than any of us could do, because he has been to almost each and every one of the places that are these fifth corners of the world, if you could think of it that way.
And the number one perception, you don't have to be a bodybuilder to enjoy an expedition cruise.
That's the thought, right? It's not, you don't have to be a marathon runner, a triathlete. For the most part, Carl will probably use this analogy, but we talk about it a lot. If you can climb a flight of stairs, you can handle getting in and out of the Zodiac for an Antarctica landing, which is what you want. You don't want to just look at it from afar. You want to go and touch the terra firma of your seventh continent of the world, Antarctica. And so you may say, well, gosh, I can climb a flight of stairs. I can't run a marathon, but you don't need to, and you don't have to compromise on your accommodations for many of these destinations, which is another misperception that, well, expedition means raw and rough and I'm cooking my own food on an open fire. Some may want that, Bill. You and I, I'd rather not. But that's the fun part of this travel show, is we're here to inspire, And we're here to open up new opportunities or maybe validate your vision and dream of what your next vacation looks like and get you down a path to start planning it with Bon Voyage's help.
And I'm telling you, in 20 minutes, you and I cover a tremendous amount of ground. And I always like to carve out a couple of minutes for a really rapid-fire questions. I love to answer questions from fellow travelers, so it's always going to be fun.
And I love nothing more, Bill, than having some of your loyal listeners, you know, come to the show and dive in and have an open dialogue, because we don't get to talk. They get to hear from us a lot.
Yes.
But I love having that back and forth, and I know your social media channels allow for that, and we love that robust conversation. Come to the show. Bill and I will be on one of the big stages to be able to accommodate any and all that want to come and chit-chat with us about our travels.
All right, that's March 3rd. There's more with Ryan Hansen, though, coming up right after we take a break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations, they receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And with us on the live line, we're talking travel. It's our Travel Talk monthly segment with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan, I had a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air but wondered what is the best time to book a cruise if you're looking for perhaps cruise deals?
It's a great question, and it's a complicated answer, right? Because it depends a lot about the destination where you're wanting to travel to, and if it's a river cruise or an ocean cruise. I will frame it this way in regards to a topic we wanted to kind of talk about anyways, which is the cruise industry is bracing for a record-breaking year. And why do we say that? Because inventory has been snatched up more and more in the in 2023 for a 2024 cruise. So options are going to be, you know, less available to you. And because the cruise lines are bracing for a record year, you can expect deals to not be had when you get closer and closer to departure. It is the best deals of the year are right now. And in the cruise industry, we refer to this kind of the internal business talk. We call it wave season.
Huh.
And this is the time where cruise lines are giving their best and most lucrative offers in the industry to try to spur on travel, primarily for 2024, right? Looking to fill the ships for 2024. So the best deals are right now. But please note, you may not find the cabin or the ship or the itinerary that you're looking for, because that could be already be sold out if you want to sail this year. So know that cruise lines have launched itineraries into 2025. Some have already launched itineraries into 2026. My recommendation would be to get the ideal itinerary for you in the ideal cabin category that you prefer. You book it as early as possible, because the way the industry's going, the fire sale for last minute deals is not going to happen, because ships are getting fuller and fuller earlier and earlier in the booking seasons.
How do you protect your cruise investment? I mean, what if there's a delayed flight, and there can be all sorts of things, health issues. How can you get the cruise you want and then peace of mind, Ryan Hansen?
It's a great question, and I'm glad you use the phrase investment, Bill, right? Because a lot of people think this is just a purchase, but I believe that anything you dream, plan, or save for is an investment. And vacations are right in that. You dream, you plan, and you save for the expenses that come with a vacation experience. Our number one recommendation is travel protection or travel insurance, much like you would for your home. Is that an investment? Absolutely. Much like you would for your own life insurance, you take out insurance on any investment. And so we can set you up with the right policy, with the right coverages. Some insurance policies can range, Bill, from cancel for any reason. Granted, that's a little bit more expensive, but you may have a business situation that you say, well, I want to book this trip. I want to lock in the best pricing. I want to get it committed to, but I may have a job issue or situation that comes up, and I want to be able to cancel. You can have a policy that's canceled for any reason. If you don't want to pay that type of premiums, there's premiums that are set out there that allow for, like you said, a delay or a cancellation from the provider, the cruise line or the airline. I think that's where you're going with. Probably the most frequent challenge we have is I'm trying to get to the cruise I want to go. The cruise is ready to go, but the airline or weather has messed up my chances and plans to get to the cruise terminal on time.
Mm-hmm.
Cruise and travel protection can help you if there's a cancellation and you absolutely can't go and can't get there, your investment's protected. Or the out-of-pocket expenses it could take to get you to the ship, either on time or delayed, then can be covered with that travel protection. One final piece that I have to mention, and I think it's really critical for people to understand, is the medical coverage.
Yes.
That can come with your travel protection. Don't mm-hmm. just think, oh, I have my local provider here
in the
United States. Nope. When I'm in Rome, guess what? Is not primary coverage, not going to cover. So you do need that coverage. Especially if something life-threatening were to happen and you were needing medevac or something like that. But you got to think through, and don't use the phrase, Bill, we hear this all the time, I'm healthy, I never get sick.
No.
That is not the right way to look at it. Bill, you know this
for
a fact. You've experienced it. It might not be an illness. It's a trip and fall.
Yep.
I slipped down the stairs. I rolled an ankle. I hurt an elbow. I hurt a shoulder.
I broke my arm.
Right?
Yep.
Don't want your arm to become sore after talking about it, but those things happen. That's why you want to talk to us, because we can help you find the right policy that's going to provide the best coverage for everybody's individual needs and potential issues that could arise.
Excellent information. And before we go, we touched on expedition travel, which fits in that kind of growing segment, Ryan Hansen, of your business, considered luxury travel. There are some trends that, Rhino, I want you to touch on for 2024 in this category.
You bet. You mentioned the unexplored frontiers that is expedition travel. That's on a boom for sure. And it can be by cruise. It can be by land. It's a lot of different ways to go about that. Happy to help you here at Bon Voyage with it. But we're seeing a big trend in group travel. And when I say group travel, it's primarily people you know. It's either family trips. It's multi-generational trips. It's passion-led trips. It's family heritage tours. It's going back to the home countries of your family. But the traveling and experiencing and building and establishing memories and moments with your loved ones is absolutely the trend in travel. It's not just go you and your spouse. That's wonderful. But if you can add your kids, your grandkids, your best friends from your local house of worship, that is where the bonds and the memories are built and are much longer lasting. We're seeing a huge trend in those moments. I want to celebrate those moments. And speaking of celebration, that's another one is anniversaries, birthdays, any of the big celebrations. People are wanting to do it as a travel opportunity and not just in their backyard as a celebration. That's another big one. Two more, Bill, just to kind of give you a sense of where people are heading to. People want some more intimate, authentic experiences. So either smaller ships, smaller boutique hotels, again, the resorts that are off the beaten path where I'm not in and amongst the crowds that you would have at the Trevi Fountain in Rome or in Trafalgar Square in London, is to do something off the beaten path. That's absolutely a trend. And the final one you and I've talked about a lot is people are incorporating wellness. They're incorporating healthy lifestyle from a cuisine and an active nature into their travels. It's a part of their life at home, and they want to continue to do that moving forward. Many hoteliers, many cruise lines are putting out menus that are more healthy, options on ship for yoga and wellness experiences to enhance your mental health. That's not just something you are doing at home. Travelers are wanting that, and we can provide those opportunities that maybe you never even thought about.
You know, we talked about a reemerging hot spot, and Iceland is certainly one of them. Another one that I'm hearing a lot about, and we talk so much about Europe-centric travel, Ryan Hansen, let's talk a little bit about Asia and Japan.
Japan is the hottest destination probably in the world. Maybe Australia, New Zealand is also, I would say, in that category. But one of the reasons why Japan is so hot right now is, unfortunately, you and I still have to kind of talk pandemic every once in a while. It was one of the last countries, right, to come fully back online for travelers to visit. So it was not on your list of options, relatively speaking, when the walls were lifted and the protocols were lifted around the world. So people have pent up from a demand standpoint for that destination. Another reason is Japan is very open now in regards to welcoming Western travelers. It's easier to get around. It's not so counterculture that you can't get around on your own. But at the same time, there's a huge juxtaposition of Tokyo and 2024 cutting edge technology and city and urban life and the historical traditions of the Japanese culture that are right next to each other, going back centuries. And I find that to be fascinating. And you can find that all around the world, Vietnam and Singapore. Those are great places. The Middle East has options for that. You know, Berlin is a great option for that. But Japan is really popular right now because you can go back centuries and live their traditions and cultures, but you also have the most cutting-edge, high-speed, light rail trains that you can ride from city to city. And there's so many wonderful places beyond Tokyo, Kyoto, and great towns and villages that you can visit. Japan is absolutely a fascinating destination.
BVTravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Thank you, Rhino.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of our friend Ryan Hansen and our friend Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, have a great day.